Praise Lord. Let's start with a word of God, a word of prayer. Thank you, Father God, for this wonderful day that you've given us, O Lord God. Thank you, Father God, for this wonderful time, O Lord Father. Thank you, Father God, for this wonderful opportunity that you have given us, O Lord Father. O Father, bless this day, bless this time, O Lord Father God. Bless us to understand that word, O Lord Father God, and help us to apply it in our daily lives, O Lord Father God. Thank you once again, Father. May your Holy Spirit lead us, guide us, O Lord Master. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I have never taken part in any of my skits in my office. I am like a very stage phobia person, to be very frank. I have never done that before. Yeah, I only consider it as my family. That's the reason that I'm standing here without shivering and without any sweats. I've never done that before. You can ask, my office members are like, if they ask me to do a presentation, I'll run off. I'll never go there. Just wanted to share a few things which encouraged me in the November conference with Zach Uncle. I didn't got a chance to, express the three wordings with three, most of the sessions which encouraged me. The first one was to be a true believer in front of God and not in front of people. It really touched me. It was like, many a times it's very easy to pretend to be a true believer when you're actually not. It is something, a relationship between you and your God. It is something which, a God has a record of. I may pretend to be a good believer. I may be good in church, but my outer life, my family life, my personal life, it may be completely different from what I am pretending to be in church. I have to be equal, whatever I am, whatever my nature is, it should be same in the church, my personal life and my family life. Zach Uncle said very correctly, you should be asking the one who is very close for me. For my side, it would be my wife to, express what's my actual nature is and what my actual behavior is. Because a brother from the church may tell us, okay, Nitish is fine, Nitish is good, Nitish is fine. But my wife will tell exactly what I am. So in that case, I shouldn't be like a dual personality. I should be like one. That is something which encouraged me a lot. Whatever you are, be yourself. God, person will just judge, but the higher authority, our Lord Almighty, He will judge for eternal life. I have to give accountability of each and everything, whatever I speak, whatever I do, to my Lord Almighty. So I have to be careful with it. I have to be, very, very cautious about it. The second thing which encouraged me was start hating sin. Like Uncle just gave the words of memorizing, it was exactly the same. The moment I start hating sin, I should be understanding what is the consequences and what is the severity of sin. Lord Jesus Christ was blameless for throughout his life. He was sinless. But yet, for my sin, he died on the cross, and the cost of my sin was very painful. This should be, this makes me understand how our Lord hates sin, how deeply He hates sin. Once I understand the meaning of sin, once I understand how deep it is, how wrong it is to our Lord Almighty, then I think I would be, overcoming it. Many a times I too have it might be anything. It might be a dark secret of my, within my heart, which I can't reveal it everywhere. But I can reveal it to my Lord. I can ask for His guidance. I can ask for His mercy. A sin or a temptation or, a bad habit which is not getting away from me. We just have to say, Lord, it is finished. We just have to loosen ourselves. We just have to, give it to our Lord, submit ourselves to the Lord and say, Lord, this sin is not getting away from my life. I think if that is the case, then, Lord is so merciful that He will help us to overcome that sin. Because taking that sin, I can't go up. I can't face my Lord. Whatever it is, I have to ask for forgiveness of that sin right here. How much ever days I am here in this earth. The very last thing which I loved is God knocks each and every doors of your life. It's in Revelation 3:30. It says, behold, I stand at the doors and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come and come into him and eat with him, and he with me. I really thought of this words like, you know, I was always considering as a new believer, for a new believer. If I'm a new believer, you know, when I hear his voice. So I always thought, I just kept this word to that extent. But it's not about only just with new believers. It is with, you know, after born again, there are doors which I have kept open, you know, shut. There are chambers, there are doors within my heart. May it be my financial, may it be my personal, may it be my professional life, anything. God is knocking at each and every door of my life, each and every door of my heart. You know, for an example, if I say there is a financial door within my heart and God is knocking at it, but I'm saying, no, God, not now. Really, I was really touched by it. I was like, yes, I think I really took this word in that extent, like, till a believer, you know, it's still only extended till the believer's life. But no, the word is extended whenever, you know, after born again too. You imagine a room where everything is, you know, scattered up, and your mom enters and you are gone out. Your mom enters and keeps everything wherever it is. You know, she rearranges all the room very nicely, very tidily. You leave the room anyhow. That's the same case within our heart too. There might be a room within my heart which is messed up, which is, you know, scattered all the way. But I should be, you know, allowing my God to come in and to rearrange everything, and it would be the best, I'll say. It's an encouragement for me to, you know, just to, because there are plenty of room, and I'm sure, like, everyone has that. Everyone has that room where everything is scattered, everything is locked, not arranged properly. It's dirty room over there. No one will come into it. But you should be allowing Lord to do it. I am practicing it that, you know, I give my 100% to the Lord and I allow him to come in with each and every room and to rearrange everything. And I think Lord will surely help on it. May the name of the Lord be glorified.
I praise God and thank God. Before I share something, I like to thank the church for this wonderful opportunity. And many churches do not give this opportunity to the youth where, you know, we can lead the singing and praise and also share the word of God. And I like to thank all the elders and also all the brothers and sisters with all the patience and the love which all of you all show to all of us. And Sunday is the one day I don't miss, and I always want to come. You know, I wish every day was Sunday. Yeah. And on a Sunday night, I'm like, Kabhi Sunday aa raha hai yaar, when is Sunday coming? I actually love coming to church on Sundays and listen to God's word. Like Nitesh shared, one of his, what touched him is from the conference. Similarly, I'd like to share a couple of things. What blessed me in the conference and also before the conference, and that is dying to your old self and living a new creation. And like we shared on Thursday also, I'd like to turn to Ephesians. Ephesians 4. Verse 22, 23, 24. In the conference also we heard of dying to your old self, or, you know, burying your old self. And it's really important. Sometimes our old self is sleeping. You actually try to bury it, but it's sleeping. And, you know, and sleeping person always wakes up. But then Uncle Zach spoke about burying their old self, and you know, the old self of anger, of lust, and all the other sins. And that's what I want to implement in my life. I don't want to put my old self to sleep, but I want to bury it once and for all. And as it says here in verse 22, then reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit. Laying aside your old self, which is being corrupted. You know, the old self, our old life, in our former days, when before we, you know, making Lord Savior of our life, we did a lot of sins, a lot of bad things, and Sometimes we regret doing all those things in the past, but it says here, laying aside, putting our old self away, you know, and this self is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit. Lust of deceit, what is lust of deceit? Is the lust of, you know, of falsehood, or, you know, what is false, what is going to pass away. And all these deceitful things on this earth are all going to pass away, and it's just a lust. And so it says, laying aside our old manner, which is being corrupted in a former lust of deceit. And how we're going to do that is not with our own ability, or not with our own, you know, with our own doings. But it says in verse 23, and that you may be renewed in the spirit of your mind. How we're going to do that is going to be renewal of the spirit, or, you know, the Holy Spirit in our lives. And that's going to help us, you know, get away or bury the old self. That you may, verse 24, and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God and has been created in righteousness and holiness of God. And after the renewal, when the Holy Spirit comes in our lives and, you know, cleanses all our dark sides and, you know, makes us new beings, it says we'll be transformed into the new self, into the likeness of God. And what is the likeness of God? Is the holiness and righteousness. God is holy and righteous. You know, He doesn't look at sin, or for Him sin is extremely bad, or, you know, it's extremely, it's so bad that it can put you to hell, and God treats it very, you know, very, very, what do you say? He gives you correction for such things, and that is the likeness of God, you know, being holy and being righteous. And this spirit, it says, there's one word used, has been created in the righteousness. So this new self is being created. It's not a part, it's not a small portion of the old self, but our old self is dead and we've been created into a new being. We have become a new being. It's created. It's not, you know, a part of the old self, but our old self is aside and we are a new being. We have been created. And reading this, my heart was really blessed, you know, looking at the old self here. In Romans 6:6, it also talks about our old self being crucified with Him on the cross of Calvary. Let's look at it. Romans 6:6. Romans 6:6. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with Him, that our body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. What an encouraging verse, brothers and sisters, that our old self has been put aside, has been crucified with Him, and we are no longer slaves to sin. When Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, you know, He took all of my sins and He died. He died for me. And my old self was crucified there. And it says, we are no longer slaves to sin. We are a new creation. And this thing really encouraged me. And as I go into my new year after my birthday, this is one of my focuses or aim, is that, you know, I don't want to be part of the old self. You know, I want the Holy Spirit to renew me, not once, but day by day. And I want to know God more. It says in Ephesians 4, verse 20. It talks about the previous three verses, but then verse 20 says, but you did not learn Christ in this way. Learn Christ. It uses a term, learn Christ in this way. And what is learn Christ? What do you mean by learning? Learning means studying Christ. And I want to learn Christ in this new year. You know, I want to learn Christ, study about Christ, study about His attitude towards people, attitude towards, you know, towards money, attitude towards the poor people, towards women. And I want to learn Christ in such a way, and not what is written above that. I want to learn Christ. Sometimes we try to, you know, memorize scripture, which is good. We read the Bible. But are we learning Christ? And, you know, that is something really important. So in this new year, one of my aims is to learn Christ. And learn Christ in such a way that I become like Him. Become, it says in verse 24, a new self in likeness of God. Learn Christ in such a way that we become like Him. And as Paul says, you know, I want to, you know, train my body. Let's look at it. 2 Corinthians. Oh, where's it? First Corinthians, verse 26-27. Chapter 9, verse 26-27. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. So in this new year, I want to run this new year, this life, not without aim. I have some aim in mind. And the aim is to be more like Christ, to learn something new about Christ. And you know, when I finish the year, I want to test myself, asking myself, have I learned something about Christ? If not, that means it was a bad year. But if I've learned something about Christ, that means I'm becoming more like Him in the likeness of God. I want to run this race not without an aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air. But I buffet my body and make it my slave, lest possibly after I preach to others, I myself should be disqualified. And I buffet, I train my body and make it my slave. But dear brothers and sisters, I remember at the start of the year, I told Uncle Abu also that, you know, I'm going to read the Bible this entire year. And for a few months I continued, but I felt lazy and, I had other things to do. And, you know, I couldn't train my body. For a few months, yes, I did. I used to get up in the morning, I used to read in the evening. But then, you know, I felt lazy. I used to get up a little late. I used to go for football practice. But I lost the concentration, or the habit was stopped. And so, dear brothers and sisters, it says I buffet my body. So in this new year, I want to train my body in such a way that whatever I think or whatever I want to do, that at the end of the year, I should finish it. Whether reading the Bible or being more like Christ, learning something new about Christ, I want to learn Christ in such a way that, you know, I implement it, that, you know, that at the day of judgment, when it says in the last verse that I've preached to others, but I myself be disqualified. And it's a real encouragement, brothers and sisters, to, you know, to know more about Christ, so that, you know, it's real easy. Sometimes it may feel hard, you know, to act like Christ in different manners in our workplace and at home and with friends. But, you know, it becomes, when they know about it and, you know, when they see Christ in you, it becomes really easy. And I've really been blessed. I'm blessed by this conference and this word, and I want to implement it.
Praise the Lord. I want to share from Mark chapter 1, verse 40, 41, 42. Which is, now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Okay. So the disease leprosy is like when a person gets this disease, the people around him don't like to touch or don't like to sit with him. They maintain a distance. So this person came to Jesus imploringly. And the word imploring means like he is begging to Jesus. And he's asking desperately that Jesus, if you are willing, you clean me. So what I learned from this is leprosy can be a person with sin or, you know, bad thing in his life. Or he'll be full of, you know, unwanted things. So leprosy, I connect leprosy to that. And with that thing, you come to Jesus and you ask desperately and, you know, begging to Jesus, Lord, please clean me. And here, first, we have to come to Jesus. What I learn is we have to come to Jesus. Then we have to beg Him desperately. And we have to trust Him. Here, this person, he has full confidence of Jesus, then he can clean me. So he's saying, if you are willing, you can make me clean. So I can see confident and that brokenness in him. And then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. So when we ask things which God which Jesus want us to give. Like, it can be anything which related to Bible. If he says, love your neighbor, and we are not able to love, and we ask God, God, Jesus, help me to love my neighbor. So God is very quick in answering these prayers, because this is God's will, and we also want the God wills to be done in our life. So God is very quick in answering these prayers. So I learned this thing from this verse. Please do it.
Last week, the whole week went in a way that and I was thinking, looking around people of the world, generally non-believers, and I was thinking if God, how much God cares about them. Because usually, you know, we know that God cares about us, but sometimes when I look at them, you know, they don't have any idea about the gospel. Maybe they have a small idea. So I was kind of wondering how God feels toward, generally toward us, you know, as men. You know, because sometimes I too get doubts like, okay, maybe God hears the prayers of many righteous people, what about us? So God kind of answered me in a different way. So I actually was reading Luke 18. There he gives a parable. So the first verse says that now he was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not to lose heart. So many of us must have read this parable. It's about an unrighteous judge. Here Jesus describes this unrighteous person like he does not fear God and he does not respect man. He's absolutely evil. And in any way, in every way, he's evil. He does not care about anyone, does not feel good about anyone. And even then he does not care about God's punishment, and he is not fearing God also. So he is telling that such a person is there, and a widow comes to him asking for legal protection. So he naturally refuses, you know, I don't care about you, just go. And he sends them away. But after, you know, she keeps coming back to him. And eventually he says that, you know, I'm so much bothered that, okay, I will give her legal protection. So I felt like we are forcing God to use such a parable. No, he's telling, see, so will you now believe me? No, even if such a evil person exists, he will still help you, grant you what you ask. So here's God says that at least, you know, the verse 6 like seems like the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge said. No, will not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night? So so this parable really helped me to think of God as someone who cares, and not someone who is indifferent to anyone on the planet. And in the same way, Luke 11, we see use two more parables to give us an idea about God, how God feels towards us. You know, Luke 11 starts about the instructions about praying. You know, in verse 5, he says, suppose one of you has a friend and goes to him in the midnight and says to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, and for a friend of mine has come to me from a journey. And he goes on, you must have read this parable also. Here he wants us to know, just suppose a friend is saying, you know, God is trying to, you know, do his best to help us think, in the, you know, help us understand how he sees us. He says, suppose a friend comes in and you have a friendship relationship. If you ask a friend, he will definitely give, don't he? So in that same way, I will give you. And again, the parable comes like in the verse 11. Now suppose one of you fathers is asked by his son for a fish. He will not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? So again in 13, he says, if you then being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more the Heavenly Father will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him. So through these parables, I learned a few things. Like God is much more, you know, first of all, God is really a righteous person. He's much more than an unrighteous judge. And God, he here says that He's much more than a friend. And He's telling that if you even compare a father's love to his son, I am much more love everyone. And the final thing was that he talks about the Holy Spirit. So many times we ask for material things, and if we don't get, then we suppose that maybe God does not hear our prayers. But material things, in regarding material things, God's will may be or may not be. We cannot be sure about that. But regarding spiritual things, God's will is definitely that He will give us the good things. So if we ask for the Holy Spirit, in the sense that if we ask for something spiritually good for us, so we have a guarantee that God will hear our prayers. And I found that not only us, but anyone in this whole world, if he seeks God spiritually, then God definitely will hear him. So it gave me some encouragement to prayer. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Can everyone hear me okay? Good. Okay. So if you'll turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And I'll read verses 1 through 3. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I'm nothing. If I give all that I have and deliver my body to be burned, but not love, I gain nothing. So one thing you need to know is that me and my wife Savannah, this is more than likely our last Sunday here, sadly. One thing is, so we left America and we came to live in India for 1 year, and we've been traveling, and through that God's given us several opportunities to share the gospel with people and all these things. But this verse kind of just spoke to me, because we think, you know, man, that's amazing that people can leave home and come over here and they do all these things. And you hear all these great stories about people doing amazing things for the Lord, and how they go. And, you know, you read the Old Testament and you read all the amazing things that the prophets did. And you read about, you know, missionaries and things like that, you know, Adoniram Judson and Jim Elliot and just all these great, amazing people. But one thing that, you know, Paul says here is that, you know, it doesn't matter how well we speak and like and all the great things that all these people can do. But if you don't have love, if you do not have love, then it means nothing. And, you know, that really struck me, because, you know, you think of all the amazing things that we can do for God, but we got to be sure that we're not doing it just for the sake of doing it. You know, sometimes we'll say, I'm doing this because it's the good thing to do, but not because I love to do it. So through the rest of verses 4 on through 13, Paul begins just talking about all these things that will pass away. He says knowledge will pass away, you know, prophecies, everything will pass away, but he says love will remain. So I think that's very interesting, that of all the things that are good in the world, they will all go away. Everything will end. This church building will end. All these chairs that we have will end. You know, all our technology, everything will go away. But love will remain. And, you know, I wanted to, as one of the last things that I wanted to say, was to be sure that we're living our lives in a way that shows that kind of love. You know, because Paul's saying that without love, all these things are worthless. You know, before I moved to India, I've never heard someone worshiping idols. I've never heard someone clanging the cymbals trying to wake a God up. But you hear here that Paul says, if I do not have love, I am a clanging cymbal. So if we don't have love, we're no better than the Hindu bell. So that's something that I think is very important. So I begin to ask the question, how can I live my life to where I know that I'm loving? I know that I'm loving people around me. I know that I'm living my life with love so that it will remain. So, because I know everything else will fade away, but love will last forever. And then I began to read John chapter 15, verses 12 through 14. And this is Jesus speaking to his disciples. He says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. So this is true love, and this will last forever. Jesus says that no greater love has anyone than he who lays down his life for his friends. And we know that Jesus, shortly after this, laid down his life for the world. And so he came and he lived a perfect life that none of us could ever live. And then he laid down that life to pay for our sin so that we could go free if we believed and trusted in him. And he rose again, proving that he paid for it in full. And that's love. And we know that that happened over 2,000 years ago, and that it still remains. So that's one thing that I think that we could show love is by following that example. Are we willing to lay down our lives like Jesus did for those around us? Like each of us in this room, are we willing to lay down our lives for those? Am I willing to lay down my life for someone that lives 8,000 miles away? And that's, you know, that's a tough question to ask. But Jesus gives us that example with his life of how to live your life in a loving way that will have a lasting impact. Because, you know, one day I will die, my wife will die, and, you know, the whole world will be gone. But what Jesus did to show love was he lived with his disciples and he poured into them. He began to teach them and they began to teach other people. So I think that that's a way that we can live our lives the same way that Jesus did, is coming together with people around us that we love and pour in, teach them the Word of God and send them out to teach other people the Word of God. And with that, we'll have a lasting impact on the world. You know, not just our little church that meets here, but impact throughout the world. So that's just something that God's been teaching me. And I'll say for me and Savannah both, we truly love this church and we love the people here. And we know that you all love us. And I'm holding back tears now to keep from crying up here, but we enjoy you all, so thank you.
Thank God for this wonderful time. As Titus was sharing about the old self, I would like to read the same verses from Ephesians 4, but from the Message Bible. It says, can you put it up in Message? Verse 20 onwards. Verse 20. Okay, I have it differently here. So. Verse 20, it says, but that's no life for you. You learn Christ. My assumption is that you have paid careful attention to him, been well instructed in the truth precisely as we have it in Jesus. Since then, we do not have the excuse of ignorance. I like that term, you know. We do not have the excuse of ignorance. How many times, there's so much I've learned from Christ in this church. So many messages I've heard. And am I still making excuses to live that life? And the next sentence says, everything, and I do mean everything, connected with that old way of life has to go. It says everything, not even a single bit of the old way has to stay. It's rotten through and through. Get rid of it and then take on an entirely new way of life. A God-fashioned life, a life renewed from the inside and working itself into your conduct as God accurately reproduces his character into you. So, it's the old self that really has to go. It came strongly to me this week that I've been living this life now. I'm 23 now, so I've been born again for 3 years. But how much have I grown? How much of that old self has gone? Is there still a little bit of that old self, a little bit of jealousy, a little bit of bitterness towards someone? You read in the next verses, it says there's a little bit of anger. It says in the last verse says, make a clean break with all cutting, backbiting, profane talk. Be gentle with one another, sensitive, Forgive one another as quickly and throughout and thoroughly as God in Christ forgave you. So have I made a clean break with all cutting and backbiting? Do I talk behind the back, you know, against someone else? Do I speak with a gentle voice? It says in verse 29, watch the way you talk. Let nothing foul or dirty come out of your mouth. Say only what helps, each word a gift. I was just taking note of all these things in my life. Do I take notice to these small things? The small things which I have to be renewed in spirit. And Paul just saying that it all has to go. Nothing has to stay within us. If you read in Mark 7, verse 20, Jesus is talking about the heart, and he's talking that everything what we do comes out from the heart. Nothing from out, you know, defiles us or pollutes us, but it's everything from the heart that pollutes us. Verse 20, it says, and he was saying, that which proceeds out of the man, that is what defiles the man or pollutes the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed the evil thoughts, fornication, thefts, murder, adulteries, deeds of coveting and wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things proceed from within and defile the man. So what came to me was the heart that needs to change. It has to be renewed. It has to be made new. New in the likeness of God. You know, I like that term which it says in Ephesians 4 verse 20. A God-fashioned life. What would God do? What would Jesus do basically in each situation? If someone provokes me, do I give back to them? Do I, you know, say an angry word to them or something? Or do I just keep quiet and forgive them? Or if I'm driving and someone cuts me off, am I quick to give back? Or am I quick to forgive? So I was just thinking, what's quick in my life? Is Jesus quick in my life to come out? Or is it my old self? As Nitish was talking, that self needs to die. And he was talking about that dead self. But something came to my mind itself. That why not I replace that dead self with Jesus, so that I may, you know, whatever comes, whatever situations come across my life, only Jesus will come out. Only Jesus. Everything I do, and it says, I mean everything, only Jesus will come out. And I was thinking also another verse which really blessed my heart. I think in this generation we live in, there's so much of temptation, so much of sin. And it says from Romans 5, Romans 5 verse 20, the law came in so that the transgression would increase, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. So I was thinking, I don't need to worry about anything, you know. Where sin has increased in this generation, we see so much around. You know, I sit before the laptop the whole day, and there's so much of temptation, so much I can get into, so much I can sin. But where sin has increased, you know, grace has abounded more. That God's grace has been flourished towards me, and I just have to go to Him. As Rahul was sharing, I just have to go to God and just ask for grace. Praise God first.
I'll also be in Ephesians today. I've been reading through Ephesians maybe this week, and so I just want to share what God has been showing me. So Ephesians 5:8, I will read. It says, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. So that got me thinking about how, you know, you were dark, but now you are light. So he was telling you were this, but now you are this. And so I just thought that it was neat that he said you are something, because all the time I'm thinking, like, what is my identity in Christ? What is that really? Because that's what gets me stumbling into sin, is, you know, doing dark things, you know, being the dark person. But God says you are light, and so I had the thought, why don't you just be who you are? Because if God's made you light, he says you are light in the Lord, so to walk as light. So why aren't we just who we are, who he's made us to be, a new creation? And so, but after that it says, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. So it's flowing from us walking as his children, is everything that's good and right and true. And it keeps going and tells us not to take part in the works of darkness. And as they've been talking about other parts of Ephesians, we know that the darkness belongs to our old self. It doesn't belong to the new creation. It's still there, because our outer self is wasting away, but our inner self is being renewed day by day. That's what we want. But it's still there until God sanctifies us completely. But I just was thinking about that, because India is a very dark place, because of all the idol worship and the many people worshiping many gods. And so us being from a different place, when we come, that is one thing that just spiritual warfare hits you, and it's like it is just such full of darkness many times. But there's light here, because of all of you. Because you're living around in the people that are still darkness, but you are light in the Lord. And so we know that in Ephesians chapter 1, it tells us that he's given us adoption as sons. And so he doesn't just let us be sons and then takes us to heaven. We're not just saved and then we go straight to heaven. There's a reason why we're still here. And God's given us a responsibility as his sons and daughters. We're responsible for what happens after that. Because he says in verse 15, it says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. And the past few weeks, we've been busy and had many things to do. Schedules have changed. Things have been canceled. And so I've had difficulty managing my home lately. So like Zach will say, what are we having for dinner? And I'll say, oh, I forgot about having to plan for dinner. You know how it works. And so he'll be like, did you lay out the chicken? And then I forgot to lay out the chicken. Because I am not looking carefully. I'm not being careful to watch how I'm taking care. I'm not being wise. I'm being foolish and not handling time well, not using good time management. And so just like that can happen, and the women know, if plans change and you need groceries and the market doesn't have what you need, all of a sudden you have to change your plans. And so that's why we need to look carefully how we're walking, because in the same way, if our eyes aren't open and we're looking at how we're going to plan the week, who are we going to share the gospel with this week? What am I going to tell my neighbor about Jesus this week? If we're not planning it in our head, we're not going to do it. It's not going to happen. Like Pastor's saying, we're going to memorize this verse this week. How many of you would have memorized one if he wouldn't have put it up there? Not to shame you. Not saying that to shame you, but that we have to plan things out for them to go well a lot. And so I was thinking about, I said, this is the last time I might get to speak to them. What am I going to say? And so I just wanted to remind you that you're alive. That in Ephesians 2, it says that at one time you were dead in your trespasses and sins, but God made you alive. And so, and by grace you've been saved through faith. But after that, it says that God, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand. He already prepared them, that we should walk in them. So we're alive and we're light. And so we should walk as children of light, and we should walk in the good works which God prepared beforehand. And we should be responsible sons, so that when he comes back one day, that it'll be like the man that he gave the talents to. Remember the parable where he did well with his talents? We want to do well with what he's given us. And so I just wanted to encourage you that you're light and to walk as children of light, because we're going, but you're staying. And there's so much lostness around where you live. And if you're being light, if you're being who God created you to be, and you're walking in those good works that he prepared beforehand, many more people will hear and know about Jesus. Because we know that in Habakkuk 2:14 it says, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea, right? And that's what we want India to look like. We want every nation, all tribes and peoples and languages praising Jesus. Not because we're good to go do it, but because Jesus deserves our worship. And so I'm just so happy to know that there are believers in this room that are light and that are alive, and that you'll be able to go to your neighbors and tell them about what Jesus has done for you, because they don't know. They're ringing their bells. And so that encourages me. And I'm just thankful that you've let us be a part of your faith family while we've been here. And it's just a blessing to know all of you. So walk as children of light and be who you are, because that's who God made you to be, and it's beautiful.
It was really encouraging to hear such amazing words from so many of us today. And something that I've been thinking about lately is the relation that I and God share. What is Christianity all about? It's not a religion, it's a relation. It's a relation between me and God. It's not about my relation with Him yesterday or what it's going to be in future. It's day by day. It is what it is today. What is my relation with Him today? Is it sour? Is it bitter? Or is it that same way that I started out 3 years ago? Is it the same? And a lot of times I feel that it is never the same. There's always inconsistency. And a relation with inconsistency is nothing but rubbish. You know what the basis of this relation is, and I realize that the base for this relation is love. We sang the song Faithful One, and the last two lines of the song says, "Your love is the anchor." And I said, man, that is figurative. You know, I was wondering, why would they compare love to an anchor? As far as I've seen, when we go out fishing, and if the fisher guy forgets to put in that anchor into the water, what's going to happen to the boat? You're not going to get it back. It just fades away into the deep blue sea. It's gone. So link that with God's love for me. If that love is not there, I'm sorry, that love is there. That's the reason I'm still where I am. And if, you know, imagine if God didn't have that love for me, where would I be? I'm really blessed to realize the love that God has for me and how firm it is. And I'm blessed that He's shown me what His love is for me. You know, if you turn into Romans 8:38, we know this is written by Paul. And again, when you look at Paul, the life that he lived, and you know, understand that these verses are from a person like him. He says in 38, "For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things yet to come, nor power, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created things shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." I said, man, this is powerful. Nor height, nor depth, nor principalities, nor created things, nor people. There's nothing that can ever separate us from His love. That's how much He loves all of us here. And how I was thinking, how grateful am I for this love? Do I thank Him when we say, you know, sometimes our prayers become like a mugged up thing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your blessings. That's how it is. How much do we mean that thank you for your love? This is His love. It's so clear, it's so precise, and it's beautiful. And I say, Lord, it's my turn. It's my turn to tell you my love for you, There are no heights, nor depth, nor any created things. There are no principalities, nor people that can separate my love that I have for you. And I really pray that I might see this day soon. I know it isn't going to come overnight, but there's nothing like having faith and believing that He works everything for the best. And thank you.
Thank God that you said good things, you know, like about first one of the plan, about pretending certain, you know, being less. If you're not really, you know, what God wants to be, you know, like us to be, but we are pretending something. And second was Titus was saying about, you know, like being born again, being a new creation, that old things have passed away. But really, you know, being that, as that really that old life gone out. Zach was sharing about, you know, being, if we really don't have love of God, you know, like that love for others, everything is there, speaking in tongues, you know, worshipping, everything is there, but if love is not there in my heart, it's useless. All things are useless. You know, one thing I believe, you know, God has planned everybody's life. You know, like, everybody has his own trials, situations, you know, time for fellowship, you know. Everybody is planned. He's planned everything perfectly. I was thinking about, you know, when Titus was sharing about, you know, like he's tried to, you know, read the Bible. He planned that full year I'll spend and I'll, you know, I'll read the Bible. For some months, you know, it was I read, but later on I started feeling lazy. One thing was coming to me, you know, like we live, you know, like we feel hungry. When you go to work, we come back, or if we, like younger people might go to study, or they come back from school, or, you know, feel hungry. The first thing, what do you go? I say, I'm hungry and I want to have food. When you have that food, you feel satisfied. Otherwise, you know, that crunch in the stomach or something, acidity or something, other, you don't feel perfect. You know, you feel like something is wrong, you know. I want to eat. I want to be fed. When I'm fed, then I'm full. The word is, the word of God is something like that, no? If I, it should be that food for my soul, you know? If I don't have that food, I feel uneasy, I feel weak. The Psalm says, no, though, your word is the lamp unto my feet. And it says, it's a path, it shows me a path. So, you know, if I don't have the word of God in my life, then it's really, you know, like, I'll be walking as, you know, someone saying about being in the darkness, you know, I can be in that darkness. Think about a person being in a dark room, there's no light. I'll be groping around with my hand to feel the objects here and there. I won't know exactly what is it, but the word of God is the light. You know, it can show us, guide our lives. And then God has planned everything perfectly. When we you know, really submit our lives and really, you know, go through His word, then He can direct our paths. Otherwise, it is impossible. Yesterday, I was sitting with Sharon, and she was reading about, she was reading on Romans 5, 16, it's about Adam's gift and Adam's sin and the gift of Christ. I went back seeing about that thing, you know, that verse where it says Adam's sin. You know, Adam's sin was one, you know, yesterday I realized one thing, you know, like when they had that fruit, and then when they came, when God came, they were really, you know, afraid. They went and hid. And God asked them, why are you hiding? He says, we know we are naked. We are naked. And so He asked them, did you eat that fruit? I told you, don't eat that fruit. But did you eat that fruit? They said, yes, I eat that fruit. But when you read the word, what, you know, Adam says, this companion, that woman you gave me the fruit and I ate it. That one thing was coming to mind. This woman that you gave me as a companion, but it is not my fault. First is, you gave me the woman, she gave me the fruit and I ate it. It's not my fault. You know, like saying, God, it is nothing. I am perfect. It is your fault. You know, you bought certain things in my life and this happened. If you take Saul, if you take Saul, when the, you know, Samuel came and told him, you know, this is the thing you did. God told you what, destroy everything. But you kept these things. What he said? No, I kept the best things that I give it to the Lord. Things, right? I kept it for you. I didn't want it for myself. I kept it for you. I kept for you. So things, you know, like, give it back. You know, thing is, how my life is. When God sends certain situations in my life, some things happen which I don't expect. Am I really thankful or grateful, God? Anyway, this situation has happened in my life. I thank you because you are in control of my life. I see, I know, sometimes I feel, see I'm weak, I fall. There are problems in my life, but I see that you are there. You know, you are working in my life. If you read this verse in 1 Samuel chapter 30. See, this Amalekites come and they attack Zipkal, and the seven families go there. These Amalekites capture all the women, women younger and old, and they take them prisoners and all that. And when David and his army comes in to Zipkal, they see everything is burning. They have attacked and they have taken all their they have taken the women away, the things away. And all are crying, and this thing is there when people, they are angry with David. This army, the people within them, they are angry with David. They want to stone him. If you read this verse, verse 6, 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 6, it says, "Moreover, David was greatly distressed because the people spoke of stoning him, for all the people were embittered, each one because of his sons and daughters." But it says, the last portion says, "But David strengthened himself in the Lord." If you read the other version, it says, David encouraged himself into the God, into the Lord. Situations are there in my life, things don't work exactly as I want. But what I do is I encourage, I go to God, really pray to Him. Like, God, I need your strength. I need your word. I want you to speak to me. I need your fellowship in my life. That I won't be, okay, even if I am down, but you can take me up. You can strengthen me. Because I don't live for the world or anybody else. I live for you. And then God can really change my life. I get encouraged. I live. I give total glory to God, not to my own self. Then things can change. Do I really live that life, or I just pretend every day go to church, go to the Monday meetings, Thursday meetings, Saturday meetings, or Sunday meetings? But thing is, what is my life? God sends certain situations, or the word that He gives, might be, sometimes it might be a really good biryani, but sometimes it's not that tasty. Things happen in our life, but God, He has planned everything. Okay, this time is really good. Take this. But certain situations in life which I don't like, certain foods which I like, that things that I don't like, I have to go through it because God is strengthening me. I really pray that God will really help us, and that we will be encouraged in Him. We will really love Him. What we do, this life one we live, like Zach was saying, I do it with love. Things that are, even the situations or problems or everything, I praise God. I say, God, I love you. These things are going to happen, but I pray that your love for me and my love for you won't grow cold. As you're saying, this one commandment I give you, love one another as I loved you. We say, Rachel was saying, we say, thank you, Jesus, thank you, this, thank you, that. But does it come from my heart? Or just speaking certain things, does it really come from my heart? God looks at our hearts. As Johnny was saying, that it doesn't come that what goes inside, but things that come outside. What I speak, Even if we read James, the tongue speaks. The tongue is like the rudder of a ship, it controls the whole ship, like a tongue controls the body. But what does the tongue speak? That what is there in the heart. Jesus says, what your heart desires, your mouth speaks. So I really pray that God will really change our hearts. And we can really live a life, that is really pleasing to Him. Because we can live a life full of gratitude. Like, God, I live this life now. I live it for You because I love You. The things that You have done for me, for that, I want to love You and live that way. I want to obey You. Come out of love. Not of, certain things that if I die and tomorrow what I do, I go to hell or I go somewhere else. But God, I love You. Anything, I love You. Any situation. This apostles and all that, they lived this life, they were beaten. Even Paul says, I was beaten and bruised and everything. But what made them, to go all those things? They loved Christ. Really, God help us to have that life.